The next case for this morning is number 4, Savtarova v. Klaus.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Carl Draper. I'm here on behalf of the plaintiff, Mr. Joseph Sotoriva. Mr. Sotoriva, as the Court, I'm sure, is familiar, was an employee of the state of Illinois. And because of some overpayments of his wages while he was on active military duty, the defendants in this case, primarily the director of his agency, took measures to collect the sum of some $24,000 from the alleged overpayments from Mr. Sotoriva's wages without giving him an appropriate hearing. The issue in this case comes down to the district court's award of an attorney fee that the court reduced by 67% on some analysis that somehow the injunctive relief in this case was inadequate to support the attorney's fees sought. In fact, a fair reading of the district court's opinion shows that the court engaged in a mathematical formula of some sort to measure the value of an injunction. And that is something that just simply has never been approved by the United States Supreme Court, certainly not approved in the leading case of Hensley that we've relied on. It's important for the court to keep in mind that on the face of the complaint and throughout the entire proceeding, defendant Klaps constantly claimed an entitlement to take $24,000. He never claimed a lesser amount. He never even agreed with the district court when the court issued a summary judgment opinion that said that as to a portion of the $24,000, as to $18,000, there had been a grievance hearing that could satisfy due process.
Well, it was my understanding that both parties really took extreme positions in this case. It's sort of on an all-or-nothing basis. The department maintained the $24,000 stance, and your client said, I shouldn't have to pay anything because of these due process violations?
That wasn't part of the complaint, and it wasn't part of the argument. There was no question that there were overpayments made, and through the course of discovery and in all of the briefs, Joseph Sotoriva agreed that there were overpayments made. What his beef was is that the comptroller had said, we're going to collect this sum. He had asked that the overpayments cease prior to his return to work. Despite that, the agency continued to overpay him. He tried to find out how to address this and was told by the Attorney General's office, file a union grievance. He did so and agreed at the resolution of that grievance that he would drop his claim that he owed nothing. The outcome of the grievance was that the parties were to reach a repayment plan by the following July, and as the complaint and the summary judgment pleadings all show, Defendant Klaps didn't do that, and then in September initiated involuntary withholding of now $24,000 as opposed to the $18,000 figure that had been under discussion up to that point. And that was the reason why the district court found that as to the $18,000, there had been some adequate hearing, but there had never been any mention of $24,000 until after that grievance had been resolved. But Mr. Sotoriva never claimed, except in his grievance, that he should not have to repay the sums. The complaint specifically addresses this. Paragraph 33 of the complaint, for example, states that the court should enter an injunction prohibiting defendants from withholding wages of state employees until pre-deprivation hearings are held. That was always the position. Throughout the case, and even after the decision on summary judgment, Defendant Klaps appealed and later withdrew the appeal, but put the plaintiff through all of that additional expense, continually claiming no hearing was required, and certainly no hearing was required as to the $24,000. The only way that Joseph Sotoriva was able to get any relief from this offset that was going to go to $24,000 was filing suit. As we recounted in the summary judgment motion and in the briefs before this court, Mr. Sotoriva spent the better part of 9 months trying to get this issue resolved. He successfully convinced the comptroller to stop the withholding, but it was only after some money had been taken and given to the defendants. And at that point, Defendant Claps started certifying false payroll and just took matters into his own hands instead of following state law. And it was at that point that the plaintiff filed the complaint, sought the preliminary injunction, prepared for the preliminary injunction, and at the hearing, the defendants walked in and said, we will capitulate as to the preliminary injunction and withhold no money until there.
This is the argument, basically, as to why your fees should be higher than the district court gave you, all right?
Absolutely, because we prevailed on the whole sum.
Now, that's an argument to make to the district court. I understand that. But the district court calls the shot, and after the district court calls the shot, we're supposed to review it. And what you're basically giving us here is your version of the explanation the district court should have given us. Am I right?
I'm trying to explain why our argument is that the district court abused its discretion, which is, I think, what your question is. Isn't that the standard you're measuring here?
Well,
it's whether the district court...
I don't know why the district court did what she did. And my point is, rather than listen to you make these arguments, why shouldn't we just simply vacate the judgment, remand this to the district court, have the district court give us an explanation as to why the district court gave the fees it gave and didn't settle on another figure, and then we can review that for abuse of discretion on a record that means something to us.
Well, I think this record means something because it's obvious that the district court deviated from the full amount of fees, even though the court found they were all reasonable and all intertwined, on a finding that the plaintiff prevailed on less than all of the success that he sought, and did some, like I say, formula coming up with one-third, two-thirds. It was invited by the defendants. And what this court should do on any remand is instruct the court to treat it based on the injunction. The complaint sought an injunction against collecting $24,000. The court ordered that and should have awarded attorney's fees commensurate with that.
You're getting ahead of yourself. I mean, the first thing we've got to know is why the district court did what it did.
I agree with you. The court did not do what Hensley suggested, which is give that explanation.
Suggested or directed. And so why don't we just find out first?
Because we could get to the end point that we should get to and that the law, I think, requires, which is that any decision other than finding that he tried to stop $24,000 from being collected without a hearing and the court ordered that the plaintiff prevailed on all of his claims.
Fully is what you're saying.
Fully.
So you want us to begin with instructions to award the full fee claim.
Absolutely. Because the court already made all the other analysis, that the amount of time expended was reasonable. She already determined the hourly rate, which no party has appealed from.
So we have everything that
we need. And if the court was truly wrong and it's remanded, there really is no point in making further findings. On this record, the plaintiff achieved total success.
Total success in the sense you got an injunction.
That's correct. And all of the other matters were very ancillary. And, in fact, the district court specifically said that they could not be parsed out and were not a reason for reducing the fee award. So the only reason the court gives us for reducing the fee award is some comparison of the value of an injunction prohibiting $18,000 from being collected versus $24,000. And the plaintiff only sought a hearing as to the $24,000. So there really is nothing else for the court to do.
I thought your claim challenged the grievance procedure as well, which sustained the $17,900. Didn't your complaint challenge that procedure as well?
We challenged on summary judgment whether the plaintiff had received a due process hearing, and the court found that the grievance process could satisfy that, but only as to the amount in controversy. We didn't further appeal because, frankly, the amount in controversy is somewhere between those two numbers.
Well, I understand that. So your complaint challenged both the grievance procedure, the adequacy of the grievance procedure, which pertained to the original amount of $17,009,
right,
and the higher amount, the no-hearing procedure that resulted in the higher amount of $24,000 being assessed against your client. And you prevailed on the latter but not on the former.
But, you know, that's a form over substance because the bottom line is Defendant Claps was going to take $24,000 unless an injunction was issued. And the injunction that the court issued gives that full measure of relief. It was not for the district court to conduct the due process hearing and determine the amount of overpayment.
Well,
that was the relief sought that should have been done by the agency.
Your claim against the grievance procedure, challenging the grievance procedure, was gratuitous and never should have been brought. If all you were complaining about is the difference between the 17.9 and the 24, then that should have been the sole count in the complaint rather than the additional count about the grievance, the claim for monetary relief, and the claim to get Claps fired under state law.
There was nothing in the complaint about the grievance procedure itself. That was a defense that was raised that we did respond to. And while the court found against us on some points about what it addressed and whether it did or did not address the amount that was owed, we still got the ultimate relief sought, which is to not collect the $24,000. That was the purpose of the suit. That was the amount that was pled, and that was the amount that we won under the district court opinion.
Thank you, counsel.
Ms. Walsh. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Mary Welsh. I'm here on behalf of the defendants. In an earlier case, one of the parties said that rational basis review is the paradigm of judicial restraint. In this context, abuse of discretion is the paradigm of judicial restraint for an appellate court because even if reasonable people might disagree, that's not enough to alter the judgment below.
That presumes we have something to review, and the district court did not explain how she arrived at the fee award in this case other than to say that it was only going to be 33%.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, that's not correct. On page A75 of the appendix in the plaintiff's, the appellant's brief, what the district court says is, plaintiff achieved partial success in that defendants were enjoined from withholding any amount in excess of the $18,000, effectively, without providing him with a further due process. Considering all of the claims originally filed by the plaintiff and the evidence submitted in connection with the dispositive motions, the court finds that the fee award should be reduced by 67% to reflect plaintiff's limited degree of success. So then we have to turn to the complaint to see what, in fact, relief the plaintiff was asking for. And this is a classic case of overclaiming. This is just like Cole, just like Tuffer. It's one of those cases where the plaintiff really claims too much. For example, in the procedural due process claim, as the court pointed out, plaintiff wasn't asking for just a hearing with regard to the difference between the $18,000 and the $24,000. Instead, plaintiff said he wanted an injunction prohibiting the, this is on page A8 of the appellee's brief, the complaint is, an injunction prohibiting the defendants from withholding wages, not just of the plaintiff, of employees of the state of Illinois, until pre-deprivation hearings are held with a meaningful opportunity to be heard, neutral office, attorney, confrontation right to present witnesses. So the plaintiff is asking for quite a lot more than he got, because what he got was an order that said the grievance you had, which doesn't have an attorney, which doesn't have a, the confrontation rights, all of that, the grievance you had was sufficient for the $18,000, and all you get is a hearing with regard to the balance, the $6,000. Now, so that's the first claim, on which plaintiff prevailed in part. On the second claim, plaintiff asked for, lost wages and consequential damages, including tax losses due to the withholding. So in that claim, plaintiff dropped the morning of trial. That meant that everybody, the defendants had to prepare for that. The court had to set aside its docket for to have a trial for that. And plaintiff waited until the morning of the trial to dismiss that claim. And he did it because he finally figured out, as he admitted, that he had an offset. Well, the plaintiff could have figured that out beforehand and thus not brought that claim. So, again, that's a case of overclaiming. And then lastly, with regard to the state claim, that claim went out, after a year on black letter law. This is an 11th Amendment claim. It doesn't belong in federal court. So that claim, again, another case of overclaiming. So the district court was absolutely on the mark. The plaintiff lost on black letter law on the state law claim because there was no jurisdiction, withdrew the damages claim on the eve of trial because he eventually figured out that he had no damages, and three, he got only a small, 25% of the injunction, the money that he was talking about. The state, according to the district court, it was not barred but from withholding the $18,000. The state is barred only without another hearing, that the plaintiff had sufficient due process. The state is barred only from recovering the additional $6,000 without an additional hearing. And again, the district court's decision makes clear that the plaintiff could have avoided all of this litigation by filing a second grievance and saying, wait, okay, I understand I have to pay the $18,000, but I don't understand that other $6,000, so I want to grieve that. And the plaintiff didn't do that.
Where did the 33% come from?
Well, the 33% came from the idea that plaintiff did not prevail on at least, well, the plaintiff didn't prevail on over two-thirds of his claim, but again, as the plaintiff is suggesting, there wasn't a mechanical ratio. We asked for exactly a proportion between the six and this, the 6,000 in the due process claim that was left and 6,000 in fees, or alternatively, if you deducted all the hours that, and we went through it very closely, as you saw from our objection to the fee petition, to deduct hours that weren't appropriate, and then it would be 8,000. The court, in fact, rejected our request to keep it much lower and ordered twice what we suggested. And this is because, as the courts have held, there's sort of a minimum amount that litigation costs, regardless of what you're asking for. But again, this court has been very careful to say that plaintiffs who overclaim should be penalized for overclaiming. If the plaintiff had not filed a complaint like this that looks like a class action, and in fact
I don't think there's any problem with that, and I don't think there's any problem with the fact that the court discounted the fee award substantially based on the degree of success here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The problem is that it's sort of an arbitrary number that the court didn't explain.
Well, Your Honor, I think the court did explain there was partial success here. Now, the court could have said, well, you won on, as we suggested, you won on a quarter of a third of your case, so I'm only going to give a twelfth of what you're asking for.
But the
court didn't do that.
It says that we're not supposed to engage in claim counting.
And the court didn't do that here. What the court did was, first it did the lodestar. It said, okay, you asked for so many hours at this rate, and here's even though you originally asked for 53,000, if I do the lodestar correctly with the correct hourly rate and the correct number of hours for the whole case, it's going to be 42,000, not 53. So it's already reduced to 42. And then the court stepped back and looked at, as it's allowed to do, as it has discretion to do, as it's obliged to do, and has the best knowledge of the case. It lived with the case for 3 years. And so then the district court looked at what case was brought, the big case, what looks like a class action, what is a claim for damages that's taken, that's withdrawn on the eve of trial, and what is a run-of-the-mill state claim that has to be thrown out for an obvious defense of the 11th Amendment. So it looked at all of that, and it took this court's decisions in Cole and Tough Racing, and it said when plaintiffs overclaim like this, we have to stop them from doing it. The Section 1988 and other fee-shifting statutes are there for valid claims, not for people who throw the kitchen sink into a complaint. And that's why Hensley, which, by the way, was an injunction, you know, was a case that asked for injunctive relief itself, said you have to take into account, and this is the most important thing, the relation between the relief sought, which here was vast, and initially, and then came down, and then came down, and was finally granted only a portion of one of three claims. And then you look at all of that.
I mean, you're talking about there's a narrowing of the claims by the time you went to trial, right?
Well, it didn't go to, I mean, it went to, the only thing that went to trial was the damages, and that was then withdrawn the morning of the trial. So it went from being a big class action plus damages plus a state claim to withdrawn damages, 11th Amendment out for the state law claim, and only a portion of the injunctive relief granted. Because plaintiff, in fact, got due process initially through the grievance process and could have gotten it again if only he had invoked the grievance process and before filing this suit for that $6,000 balance.
The problem here, as I see it, is that mm-hmm. this explanation that you're providing for the reduction in fees mm-hmm. Sounds really pretty good, but the district court didn't say any of that.
This is what I see the district court said. I mean, the district court said you have partial success. It followed Hensley. It said, you know, when you have partial success on related claims, you have two choices. You can either take out the line items if you can do it, and here it really wasn't possible because the claims were so factually related, or the district court, Hensley says, the district court has the option to make a reduction, an overall reduction. And here, that's what the district court did. It said there's partial success, so Hensley says we need to reduce the fee. And because the success was very small, in addition, you know, again, Hensley says the most important thing is the relationship between the relief sought and the relief ultimately obtained. The relief sought was vast. It looked like a class action. There were damages. There was a state claim to throw out an agency director. Of course the state is going to defend against those claims. And it doesn't look like a case in which all we have to do is say what the district court finally said we had to do, which was give a hearing on the final $6,000. So again, this in summation, the district court followed Hensley to the letter. It calculated the lodestar, and then it reduced for the partial success. And this is precisely what Hensley says it should do. And otherwise, as this court has done, it has warned, plaintiffs cannot be rewarded for overclaiming. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilkes. Mr. Draper, I think your time had run out, but I gave Ms. Wilkes a little extra time, so you get another minute.
What's telling about this case is that at the preliminary injunction hearing, the order that was issued was do not deduct any more money unless you give a hearing. From that point forward, the only thing necessary to conclude this entire case would have been for CLAPS to give a hearing, which was on an accounting issue, 2 hours. 4 hours at the most. And this became a giant megillah, not because the plaintiff overclaimed. Plaintiff never made this a class action lawsuit. I don't know where those allegations come from. The idea of if only he had pursued a second grievance. Well, Plaintiff Sotoriva showed up with counsel once he retained our firm, and we asked for that very relief on September 1, 9 months before filing the complaint, and we were turned down. So the plaintiff did everything in his power. When it comes to an injunction, you can't measure it mathematically. You can't divide it into a third. There weren't 24,000 separate $1 due process claims. There was a claim to an entitlement to a hearing, and the amount that was at issue raised by the defendants was $24,000. That was enjoined, and the plaintiff had total success on that issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.